The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. It was a 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week. 10 years the Crude Life has been around, folks. Thank you very much for making the Crude Life the most trusted source for information out there today in oil and gas and energy as well. My name is Jason Spiess. I'll be your host this week. We've got a fantastic show in store for you. We're going to start down in Louisiana with the gentleman, the doctor, the man himself, who writes the economic forecast for the entire state of Louisiana. It was just released last week. Louisiana is a very big oil and gas state, whether it be from Lake Charles, where they have all kinds of petrochemical manufacturing happening down there with the imports and exports, but also offshore and onshore drilling as well. Louisiana update in just a moment or two. And bonus, folks, Dr. Lauren Scott, he's a heavyweight in the industry. So not only is he going to give us an update down in Louisiana, but he's also going to give us an update for the globe. Dr. Scott is one of the premier minds when it comes to economic activity with oil and gas, from OPEC to Nord Stream 2 to the workforce happening. In fact, he was right here on the Crude Life predicting supply chain issues 9 months before the rest of the world started talking about it. So folks, stick around. In just about 30 seconds, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Scott. Plus, we're going to head out to the Marcellus, talk to Joe Sinnott, get an update out there, and much, much more. We'll even head down to the Permian today, maybe the Rocky Mountain region. I'm getting a nod from the producer with a thumbs up. Folks, you are not going to want to miss today's show. We've got 40 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound sack. We better get right to Dr. Lauren C. Scott.
Here versus 71 in Europe. BASF has to find another place to grow. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to chase the cheapest molecules. And those cheapest molecules are located in South Louisiana and Southeast Texas. So you're going to see a lot of chemical firms coming to the southern part of Texas and the southern part of Louisiana. And then we just have a number of other just good things that are unusual in each one of these pockets of the state that are causing it to do well. So I'm actually predicting that there will be a national recession in the first three quarters of 2023, but I think Louisiana's employment will grow right through it because we're coming up the other side of the V from these natural disasters, and also because there are just a lot of good energy-related things that are going on in the state.
Dr. Lauren Scott, hey, you got time for one more question?
Sure, yeah.
So, and you don't have to answer this, but you're somewhat familiar with it. Up here in North Dakota, as well as some of the surrounding states, the Chinese have been buying up land to use for agriculture reasons. And we've got some other states where I've been researching where for energy products and projects and a number of things like that. Down in Louisiana and Texas, you know, Saudi Arabia, I think they bought a refinery a couple of years ago. I know you've mentioned several times that some European countries have been active with the LNG market down there. How does all that fit into where the commodities market is going, you know? Because if we're going to be growing crops in America and sending them, you know, having Chinese companies, you know, overseeing it or European companies or whatever the case is, does that change how we do things? Or I don't know, do you guys get into that down there? Do you care about foreign ownership, I guess?
Not really. I mean, because we have, you know, if you look at the chemical plants and the refineries down here, they are all over the place. And there's a lot of foreign ownership, foreign direct investment in Louisiana, because this is where there's access to a lot of energy. There's access to a lot of natural gas, access to a lot of crude oil. So we don't really worry about it. And I would encourage people out there not to be too concerned about this. I know you think, well, the Chinese are kind of taking over. But if things get really uncomfortable or looking bad, like this is turning into something bad, all the risk is with China. I mean, because all we have to do is nationalize the thing and kick them out. Just like, you know, when we were in Venezuela, in their oil field, they just nationalized and kicked us out. And so the risk is to the foreign investor, because at any time, we don't do this in the United States, but at any time, we could simply take over their company, take their land away from them. So I don't worry about that so much. We have a lot of it here in Louisiana. It really hasn't affected our economy all that much.
Is that are the ports still going pretty good down there, Lake Charles? Is that activity still happening?
In the port?
In Lake Charles and down in that area, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lake Charles is still, I mean, I said that the state is 68% recovered.
Yeah.
Lake Charles is only about 45% recovered.
Oh.
Because, again, Lake Charles had two major hurricanes, and they had Winter Storm Uri, and they had a big flood. They had four major hits to them since COVID. And so they're still coming up the other side of the bee. If you look at Lake Charles is basic industries. It's manufacturing employment. All of its refineries and its LNG facilities and its chemical plants, they're back to where they were pre-COVID. Their problem has been in the construction side, the industrial construction side, which is about to turn around. They're about to have some major announcement. That's going to turn around. Their leisure and hospitality side is down, but they're getting ready to open up a brand new casino. That'll take care of that. They're getting ready to really pop up. We think they'll be the fastest growing area in the state because they're coming up the other side of their bee. They're going to be coming up pretty quickly.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And use the promo code Otis for these deep, deep discounts. And if you act right now, the MyPillow itself is as low as $19.88 with the promo code Otis. Folks, you don't want to miss these savings. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still
some. All right, let's go to the Zoom line where we've got Mr. Terry Edom on the line with us, Canada's greatest export. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks, Jason. Very much better since you called me that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, you know, you kind of are Canada's greatest export. I mean, you're there in Calgary, but you export so much information across the globe that, you know, you're kind of one of those soothsayers on one hand. And on the other hand, you know, you've always been, you know, there's a common ground, folks. There's a common ground. Can we just stop the, I call it sports shouting, you know, where you just shout over each other with sports facts. Because in sports, nobody's ever wrong. So it's always...
No, that's right. Everybody's an expert, armchair expert.
And so in politics, you start to have the same thing. And you've seen how the oil and gas industry has become politicized over the past decade, especially over the past 4 to 5 years. Let's get an update from Canada. Let's get an update from your book. Let's get an update from your blog, Public Energy Number One. And I just saw an article you did in the BOE report. I thought it was great. It was great. And it's getting some great traction on social media. You're basically saying, hey, folks, when Henry Ford came out with the Model T, he didn't tell all the people to go shoot their horses, did they? So let's start off by that a little bit. First of all, how are you doing up there in Canada?
Getting by. It's crazy times. It's for... say for you and or just like for you, I guess, and the world is just upside down, so it's hard to make sense out of anything. I guess the one thing that I'm grateful for, and I hope our friends just across the border here are too, are that we are in the oil and gas industry, and the world has needed it like never before, and that proof is showing up everywhere. It's just incontrovertible now, the fact that we can't transition away from hydrocarbons anytime soon. And I guess people have to get put in the worst possible place before they'll recognize that. So you asked a few things about how things are going in Canada. Well, we still have our left-leaning governments. I'll try and be polite in our nation's capital here, who refuse to accept the value of our industry. Germany came begging for LNG a few months ago. It was pathetic. I almost cried. They showed up in Ottawa and wanted to meet with our government and ask for a pledge that we would send LNG that way, since Russia's being Russia. And our prime minister said there's no economic case to ship LNG from Canada's East Coast. And everybody that knows anything about energy just fell over on the floor twitching. There's no way you can make a statement like that and understand the first thing about energy. And so Germany just left, and we promised them green hydrogen. Someday when a green hydrogen industry develops, which is still a theoretical beast on the drawing board, which governments will want to approve and regulate and monitor, and they don't even have a game plan for that yet. And so that was his solution to this winter's German energy crisis. So that's the state of Canada. We're being led by people who are convinced that the energy transition is in full swing, and the rest of the world is saying it is not. So, and my article in the BOE report, that's just, I appreciate your comments. I do try and write in a way that just appeals to the every person. I really don't give a crap whether people like it or not. It's just, I say what I say, and it does resonate. I have a lot of listeners in Africa and Europe and all over the place. So it's kind of neat to hear from people that say, hey, appreciate a fresh voice.
That was the thing that I found with the Crude Life. You know, we went non-political, was it 8 years ago when we started publicly saying that we were non-political? And honestly, it was because everybody else was political. You know, you couldn't even turn on SportsCenter without them telling me how to feel during the national anthem, for crying out loud. I mean, when The View is getting into politics, and I mean, you couldn't get anything right. So I thought, you know what? We'll just go non-political with the Crude Life. And boy, our audience shot up. And like you said, we were starting to see European listeners and African listeners and South American listeners. And pretty soon you start to see that there's a pretty big world out there that is just craving non-political energy news. And so talk about your book a little bit, because, you know, your title seems a little bit aggressive at first, but then when you read it, you're like, oh, he's going down the middle ground. It's end. What is it? End the fossil fuel.
The end of fossil fuel insanity. And the subtitle is clearing the air before cleaning the air. And I chose that title on purpose. The editor suggested I change it to something different. And I said, nah, I like that. Cause people don't know how to take it. There were some people when it came out that said, oh good, this guy's cheering on the death of the fossil fuel industry. It's like, no, not at all. But the insanity is just the political angle that's been attached to the energy industry. Now, I guess energy has always been kind of political. There's always been a desperate search for energy. And so that brings geopolitics into play. That's just kind of unavoidable. But the politicization now, like you're saying, is ridiculous. It's, you have these little kids lecturing the United Nations on that they must stop using fossil fuels and bawling on stage and getting ovations for it. And it's just ludicrous. So, and I try and be apolitical. I start off taking shots at our politicians, but that's just kind of a cultural thing that's embedded everywhere. And I don't mean to be political about it. It attacks politicians of all stripes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I try and just talk about energy. I just say, I don't want to talk about climate change. That's political football. And you can argue it till you're all dead. I'm just going to talk about energy and what can happen and what can't happen. And it's much easier to keep a clear head, and it's much easier to be truthful and objective in what you're trying to say. When you say the world's running out of fuel, people can jump all over you all you like, but you can show them some charts that show that that is the case. When you see bidding wars for natural gas around the world, where you see a country like Pakistan literally unable to buy natural gas because they're being outbid for every cargo by Europe. So what is a country like that to do, 100 million people or something like that, that cannot find a source of fuel for the upcoming winter? What does that mean for Pakistan? Media doesn't like to talk about that, but that's the realities on the ground. And the people of Pakistan are more than happy when someone will acknowledge their issues.
What's going on in Canada when it comes to ESG? And just clarify that whole fertilizer pesticide comment I made, because it's not so much government sponsored food shortages. That's more of a prediction by me, I guess.
Yeah, I think Canada will be all right just because we have so few people and so much agriculture here. But the squeeze you're talking about is just the devious way that governments try and achieve their emissions objectives now. And that might be just sheer stupidity or ignorance. So what the government has said, the government is very shrewd here and careful. They say, oh, wait a minute, we're not banning fertilizer. We're just saying you have to cut 30% of the emissions from fertilizer use. And farmers are saying, well, that's exactly the same thing. You can't tell us to cut the emissions from fertilizer use without cutting fertilizer. And the government's like, well, no, that's sort of your problem. So there you will see a shift in crops, and this is probably going to hit the U.S. too at some point. Canada blindly follows the United Nations and Europe. That's just our view of our leaders. They think that the U.N. and the EU are setting the agenda for ESG and everything else. So we just follow them. In past, we've had leaders which recognize the value of our relationship with the United States, our biggest trading partner, and have tended to worry about that more. And I long for those days again. Longest undefended border in the world. Let's keep it that way. And so it's our politicians just follow in the lead.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And use the promo code Otis for these deep, deep discounts. And if you act right now, the MyPillow itself is as low as $19.88 with the promo code Otis. Folks, you don't want to miss these savings. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what love is. Like that. Yeah.
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made of it for me to lie in?
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner.
Going on through your social media channels, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So I think the best thing for people to do is go follow me and look. You know, you can. My newest venture is a TikTok account called Zombie Wells, W-E-L-L-Z, because Zombie Wells with an S was already taken. But
yeah, but Zombie Wells with a Z works better with the zombies.
Yeah, right, there you go.
Yeah.
So what I found is, especially on really technically complex well issues, right? I mean, things that are happening 3,000 or 10,000 feet below the ground, fluid dynamics, physics, engineering, right? Very technically complex issues. You have to make them interesting to the average person, and they have to be able to grasp what you're talking about. And so I can quickly start talking about hydrostatic heads and pressures and all these things, and people's eyes glaze over and they're lost. But if you show them a picture of a well that's got salt crystals all over it and black crude and it's bubbling gas, and you put some creepy TikTok music on it, and you say, on today's episode of Zombie Wells, we introduce you to the Estes number 3. And I totally stole this from a lady who's been on TikTok for a long time, who in October does creepy lake months, or spooky lake months, she calls it. And so she does a deep geological dive into various water bodies. And she's fascinating. She's got over 1 million followers and she's great. And so how you do this on any subject matter is you find your niche, you get compelling visuals, and you match that with a little bit of education, and people want to learn. They're interested, and it makes it accessible and interesting and, you know, minute little tidbits. And so I'm actually going to follow up. We're in the process right now of creating a new website that people would, it'll be interactive where they can go and click on a map and they'll be able to click and they'll be able to see pictures of the wellbores. They'll be able to get the old records because everyone's looking at it from a different perspective, right? So if you've got an average citizen that has no idea about oil and gas, my goal isn't for them to start going learning the nuances of hydrostatic heads. It's for them to say, this is probably something that could be impacting my life. We all need groundwater. I'm going to talk to my neighbors about the election. Or I'm, you know what I'm saying? I just want to get people interested. I want them to know what the Railroad Commission does, kind of thing. Whereas my motivation for the industry is very different. My motivation with the industry is I want every single subject matter expert who has something to contribute that wants to know about this and wants to contribute. I want them to be able to access the information and then help us figure out what's actually going on, right? Like, so I'm in the unique circumstance of we have these old wells that are, and I guess we should define zombie wells, right? We've got these wells that have been drilled,
All right, hang on here. Let's pause for just a second here, yeah. Okay? Because I agree. I was going to interject when you took a breath, which is very difficult for you to do, I could tell, which I absolutely love because you're an attorney. So, folks, we're going to define three different types of wells. First one is orphan wells, and then we're going to define abandoned wells. And then the third term that popped up a couple years ago is zombie wells. So I wanted to find out, first of all, if my definition of zombie well matches what Sarah's definition is. So first of all, the standard definition for an abandoned well is when there's an unproductive well where they actually know whose well it is. So they can identify which company is attached to that well. An orphan well is where they just have no idea which operator is attached to it. And Curtis Shuck with the Well Done Foundation is doing a great job of capping orphan wells, which primarily are from, you know, the 1800s and the early 1900s when there wasn't much regulation and they used like wood for oil derricks and things like that. So to have an orphan well in modern times in my world seems bizarre to me, but we can go on that in just a second. A zombie well to me, Sarah, I've always basically heard it's an upside down house. That yeah, they know who the operator is, but they need to keep it going, but it doesn't operate any money, and so they don't really pay attention to it. Define a zombie well, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I guess for me, the distinction is, and I'm going to tweak your orphaned well a little bit. They may know who drilled the well, but there's nobody available or around with the financial wherewithal to do anything about it, right? So Joe Blow's oil company went out of business in 1973. Joe Blow's gone. That well is orphaned. And so it can be, typically they're wells that were never plugged. So in my mind, a zombie well, or the way I've been using it over the past couple of years, is these are wells whose downhole condition has not been confirmed. Maybe it's been reported as plugged and abandoned. Maybe it's been reported as just temporarily abandoned and they never came back and plugged it. Maybe it's shut in, whatever. But you don't have enough of the data to know what's happening downhole. And they are bouncing back to life. They are springing back to life, coming back from the dead because of the increased water injection that we're doing now as a result of the shale revolution. That water has to go somewhere. And we inject it deep and it causes earthquakes. We inject it shallow and it comes into contact with shallower aquifers. And these wells have casing that's been rotting and cement that may or may not have ever been there. And suddenly you've got these wells and they become unkillable when that flow is from shallow enough. And then you have to go into all the nerdy hydrostatic heads. But for my purposes, and the reason I chose zombie wells out where we are in the Central Basin Platform of the Permian Basin is because all of the new horizontal drills in the Midland Basin and the Delaware Basin, as a necessity, the reason we frack is because they don't have the porosity, right? So you can't just re-inject the water that comes out through a water flood like we have been in traditional vertical wells. And that water has to go somewhere. And so they're piping it or trucking it to disposals in the Central Basin Platform. They're injecting it into the San Andreas Formation, specifically in the Central Basin Platform, which in some places is an oil and hydrocarbon producing zone, and in other cases it's not, but it has become overpressurized. You see it in the new 4 and 5 string casing designs that they're talking about as they're drilling these new horizontals in the Permian. And so we're encountering much higher pressures, shallower, and it is bringing these old wells back to life.
Water always finds its own level. So you mentioned it's a lot of this is, these are wells that have been unproductive for years that are bouncing back to life because of the, you know, like I said, water is going to find its level and it's going to find underneath. And so just through the natural progression of water moving underground, that's what's bringing these back to life.
Yeah. That they are over injecting into these shallower disposal wells at like 3,000 feet. And they fractured the formation. It's compounding, right, Jason? It's 70 years of sloppy construction, lack of maintenance, and it's biting us in the butt. And we cannot continue to kick the can down the road. I don't think it's fair for us to impose our 2022 knowledge on what these guys were doing in the 50s and 60s. But now that we know better, we have to recognize that we've got a problem and say, okay, maybe they should have done better, but they didn't know better in the past. Once we know better.
To listen to the full-length interview with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner, or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running around that don't stay the night, never come through town, and some other people running around.
Welcome back to The Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott gives us an energy and economic outlook for 2023.
Yeah, well, of course, the main thing is impacting the price of natural gas and the availability of natural gas. It's just compounding Europe's problem. It's solidifying Europe's problem going into this coming winter, because there are a number of natural gas pipelines coming into Europe from Russia. But that was kind of the key one that was feeding Germany. And, of course, Germany is the industry powerhouse in the EU. And, now they're just really faced with shutting down a lot of industry. And so what people are, Will Rogers once said that there are three kinds of people in the world. There's the people who learn by reading. They're the people who learn by observation. And then some people just have to pee on the electric fence to learn. And I don't want to mess up your radio show, but basically what's going on here is Europe has been peeing on the electric fence. And they're going to find out they're going to learn the harsh lesson this coming winter. And I think it's maybe changing people's attitudes all across the globe when they see what happens when you go whole hog into renewables and say we're not going to do any more fossil fuels.
One of the other areas that I think the awareness and the education is going to come through is the supply chain and some of the inflation. If you go back and take a listen at Dr. Lauren Scott here on The Crude Life, we were tackling these supply chain issues long before the mainstream media, in fact, because it was a hurricane that was shutting down some of the refineries down there about a year ago that was, and then the Huntington Beach thing happened shortly after that. So the supply chain inflation issues were happening they were creeping up earlier than people thought. This is you mentioned food, and I wanted to bring up a couple areas because a lot of people don't understand the fossil fuel connection with food, whether it be, the tractors or the feedstock. But Canada came out and really went all in against pesticides and some fertilizers and a number of different things. So the Canadian crop market is going to be impacted next year. The Ukraine had tens of millions of acres of wheat that were burned in the conflict happening over there. You mentioned the things happening over in Africa. I do think, number one, we're going to have some food shortage issues next year. Number two, though, I think this is going to be kind of an educational piece on the flip side of it as well. How do you read some of the supply chain issues, whether it be from the food side of things or from the oil and gas getting things out to the market side?
Well, I think the key thing is that when you have a country like Canada or Sri Lanka, for example, that says, we're not going to use ammonia fertilizers anymore. We're not use pesticides anymore. Basically, what they're doing is appealing on the electric fence. Okay, it only takes 1 year to learn your lesson on that, because the next year your crop output is so much lower that you got rising food prices, which will cost you politically beyond belief. And secondly, it just creates, it's really nice to go to a grocery store and see all those goods, canned goods, and all those fresh vegetables around when they're not there. I mean, that's really, really bad. And you experience that, like in Sri Lanka, they experienced that 1 year of food shortages, and they rioted and they said, "Hell no, let's get the ammonia fertilizer back here. We need to grow food." So it's one of those things where it seems like it's really smart on the surface. Maybe initially it's a great thing, it's a green thing, but then when you have to deal with the reality, you say, "Oh shoot, this hurts. This is a bad plan." And so they will, unfortunately, on the food side, they learn that very quickly. That's not something that takes 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years. You learn it straight away. And I think Canada and Sri Lanka has already learned it, and Europe is going to learn it too.
Economic outlook for Louisiana. Of course, there's a lot of annual meetings happening right now, whether it be in oil and gas or agriculture or universities. Talk about this economic outlook that came out, you published last week.
Well, as it turns out, if you look at a map of the United States, look at the 50 states, and look at how far the state has come in recovering from the shutdown due to COVID, you'll find that many of the states in the United States are either 100% back or very, very close to that. But in Louisiana, we're only 69% back, 68% back as of this past June. And that's the second worst performance in the country. And the primary reason for that is not because our economy generally sucks. It's because we've had five major natural disasters. We've had three major hurricanes, Winter Storm Uri, and a major flood in Lake Charles area. And so basically we're way down because, you know, when you have a natural disaster, your employment drops off like a beat, part of a V. You just go straight down. Well, we're in the process of coming up the other side of that V. It is kind of natural to recover, get those jobs back from a natural resource disaster. But ours were so heavy and so many that we've been very slow to get back. But right now, if you look across our state, generally speaking, the economy is very good. Down along the southern part of the state, this is where your LNG export terminals are coming in. Europe desperately needs natural gas. And one of the ways they're going
to listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. That's going to do it for today's The Crude Life Week in Review. We will be back next week at this time on this radio station. We'd like to thank you once again for joining the conversation. All these exclusive interviews are available in their entirety at thecrudelife.com. From the staff here at The Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember, we are all energy, and all energy has a purpose. With that, make it a fantastic day.
I see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be held. Nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they all know. Giving me a heartbeat.
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90, regularly $139.98, on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts, regularly $59.98, on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.